community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
We're looking at now, and we have the leader of the council, Louise McKinley. Good. I was going to say good evening.
It's
good
say,
morning.
It is good,
we yeah. don't know where we are.
It is good morning. Yeah, very good morning. And a tired Louise McKinley, because she's got a young baby and she's been up disturbed during the night. Louise, let's get straight to the crux of the matter. Vince Cable has just been on recently saying that it's going to be a tough night for the Liberals, a tough night for the Labour Party, and a tough night for the Tories. And UKIP are going to have to make lots of gains. Do you agree with that?
I think that is the case. Certainly the results that I'm hearing coming in nationally suggest that's what's happening. And I think it was what we all predicted.
Looking at Brentwood, there is a possibility at the moment that you could lose overall control of Brentwood Council. Is that something you've been talking about with your fellow councillors recently, that's something that could happen?
Yes, it is. I mean, we have a current majority of 5, so obviously if we lose 3, then that would push us into no overall control. When you look at the seats that are up, they are not what we would term safe seats, and therefore we knew that it was a possibility. And that's obviously compounded by the national picture, by the fact that we have the Euro elections today, and also by an opposition who are organised at attacking us, and they've stood strategically in the different seats to maximise their gains.
And also fair to say that historically, whoever's in power nationally, when it comes to local elections, by-elections, they normally suffer, don't they?
Yes, that's the general trend.
I mean, we've had UKIP in here tonight, we've had the Labour Party in tonight, and Brentwood First in tonight. Locally, UKIP don't. We're still not very clear where UKIP stand locally. We can't quite work that out. We don't think they know either. They're really just standing there. Some of them as paper candidates, but Brentwood First and Labour Party being quite vocal in their criticism of the Tory administration over the last 5 years. William Hunt away and town halls, etc. Do you acknowledge you may have made mistakes along the way? Would you have done anything different, or what would you say to that?
Well, of course, nobody's perfect, and we don't pretend that we've done everything perfectly, but I am proud of the policies that we have put forward. Cutting council tax, it's down by 16% in real terms at a time when we're dealing with massive cuts in funding from the government, and at the same time we're increasing the services that matter to residents. We've got more street cleaning, we are providing more recycling facilities, we've just introduced 30 minutes free parking in all of our car parks, and the list goes on. So I'm comfortable and confident that overall we have delivered, and we've delivered well for Brentwood.
Okay, there's been a massive sort of opposition really to the lights being switched off at night. Do you think that's going against you as well?
Undoubtedly.
So a mistake, I know it's not a Brentwood decision, but it was an Essex decision, wasn't it?
It was a decision that was taken by the County Council, which the Borough Council has absolutely no say over, contrary to what some of the candidates may have put in their election literature, shall we say. But yes, I mean, it certainly has resonated with residents on the doorstep, and we have found that to be an issue.
Can you just clear up for us one point, the David Bishop incident? He's quite clearly come out, he's quite clearly apologised, he's been dismissed from the Conservative Party, and he's asked people quite publicly not to vote for him. But there are still, we're hearing reports, there's still the odd poster up with, around the town with his name still on. Is there a danger that people could still vote for him? And you've not put, and it was impossible to put somebody else in his position, was it?
It was impossible to replace him as a candidate because the deadline for that had passed. David resigned, which I think was absolutely the right thing to do. I'm not aware of any posters that we have up of any candidates around town, so I don't know where that's come from.
They wouldn't be endorsed by you, would you? That's what you would say, because I think it was Mike Le Cerf suggesting
that's one I'd been seeing.
But
somewhere.
You obviously would want to distance yourself from that. It was interesting to listen to Mike actually suggesting that he was suggesting that David Bishop could win.
Well,
which would be
is a possibility,
kind of a freak result, wouldn't it? But maybe that would be almost sort of.
Is this a blip, Louise? The UKIP vote. Is this a protest vote? They're going to take a lot of votes tonight, and then maybe in 2 years' time, we're back to the disappeared. Or what's your feeling on that?
I think when it comes to the general election, that people will look seriously at the normal mainstream parties. Whether UKIP are a blip, I mean, they've been around for a decade now. I think it would be very naive to think that they're just going to disappear. And I think they play to popular politics. And we see that not only with UKIP, but we see it locally here as well. I mentioned about some of the literature that's gone out about the park night lighting. It is an issue. People are concerned about it. But we have some parties who pretend that they can do something about it when they can't. There'll be borough councillors, not county councillors. And I think it's the same approach, that if there is an issue that residents are concerned about, it's very easy when you're in opposition just to seize on that and pretend that you can solve the ills of the world. When you get into power, it's very different.
If you go to no overall control tonight, could you work well with the opposition? Because you're not really that far apart. I mean, Brentwood First and the Lib Dems don't seem that far apart in what they're saying in various policies, but do you think you could work hand in hand with them? Because you've all got good councillors, whatever party you're with, you've got good people.
Most have, yes. I think, could we work with each other? I mean, if that's what the public elect, then we would obviously have to look at that. Are the policies so far apart? Do people get on? Again, what you see now may be very different to what people have said previously, shall we say, when it wasn't in their interest that they were working so closely with the opposition. But that's for them and their conscience.
I know you're very proud of your time as leader and what you've achieved in the last several years. Had your time again, would you still do anything different or what?
I mean, I've loved every minute of it.
And I'm not saying it's over by any means, but no. You could be leader for the next 10 years.
Well, I don't know about that, but no, I have, certainly to date, I've loved every minute of it. It has obviously been very challenging at times, but I've found that something which I've really relished. And I believe that I believe in Brentwood in a better place. And I say that whether it's tonight or whether it was in a year's time or 5 years' time or whatever. As I said, I've mentioned the policies which I think we have delivered on. I don't know of any other council which has actually increased services to residents. You hear about cuts all the time. And we have done that whilst at the same time cutting council tax. And that's something which I'm very proud of.
Okay, Alan, have you got anything to...
What's your feeling nationally, Louise? Do you have any sort of predictions as to where the Conservative Party will come? I mean, there are predictions in terms of the share of vote in the European election and the local elections that you could be pushed into third place. Is that something that you're expecting?
I haven't seen any national polls in that regard that would put us in anywhere for that matter. Clearly, with this being, with the local elections being combined with the European elections, and the clear feeling, and it's one which I personally share, that we have to do something about our relationship with Europe, it was always going to galvanise the UKIP vote. So I don't think that is surprising. What I think we have to do is make sure that we are getting the message across and getting it across properly in a way that is actually coherent and understandable. I think what David Cameron's done has said he's going to do is absolutely the right thing. That it is about renegotiating the parts which people have concerns about. I know when I speak to residents, it's not the trade and the business aspects that people have concerns about. It is about benefit tourism. It is about control of our borders. And these are the areas where I think that the Prime Minister is absolutely right, that we have an opportunity to renegotiate the relationship with the EU and then put that to the vote. And I think to just pull out now or to just have that vote now, we would be missing a huge opportunity.
We've heard over as many general elections as I can remember that the Conservative leader has gone on this platform, we will renegotiate. What does that actually mean, though? That's just words, isn't it? What power does David Cameron have if a Conservative government is returned to actually renegotiate? What specifically does that mean?
I think this time it's it is very different. You know, we've had obviously various examples before around the treaties and, you know, getting our money back, to coin the phrase. But this is different. It's significantly different. And I think if you look at what's happening across Europe now, that there is actually a real appetite for change. There is, you know, people talk about a two-speed Europe. But if you look at what's happening in Germany, they are very keen that the European arrangement is looked at again. I don't believe it is sustainable if it continues in the way in which it is. It's obviously in both our interest and our European partners that we do have a relationship that can work. And I think, therefore, that it is a sensible idea to have those discussions. And in terms of what David Cameron can do, I think if he is returned as the Prime Minister, he's there on a very clear mandate. We are one of the key players in Europe and on the world stage. And therefore, he would be representing us in those negotiations. And I think that puts him in a very strong position.
Do you think David Cameron and Ed Miliband have had quite a low profile in this current election? I haven't seen much of either of them, really. Seen plenty of Nick Clegg and we've seen plenty of Nigel Farage, but not much of, you know, the main two.
But I think, you know, Farage is the media darling, isn't he? He's one which will, I guess, sell newspapers and make people switch on the television. He's a character and he's had lots of faux pas as well, hasn't he? And again, that makes for headlines.
As did Boris Johnson, exactly the same sort of thing, really. Plenty of coverage and plenty of faux pas.
Of a different nature.
Of a different nature. And probably Eddie Izzard will get the same sort of stuff when he stands as well.
Do you think, Louise, that that David Cameron made a mistake not taking part in the debates between Farage and Clegg?
No.
There's your answer.
I asked the question. Very nice to get a concise answer.
Okay, Louise, we'll let you get back to the hall now because we are not that close, but we're getting a little bit closer. Thank you for your time. We'll speak later, no doubt.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much indeed for coming in.
Thank you.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.